Hope everyone's had a good half of the week. Have some travelers that are back with us. Have some visitors with us. Preacher's family, he seems to be proud of them. He's introducing them to everybody. It's a good sign. We won't tell you what he says when you're not here.
Don't worry, she hears it on the phone.
Oh, you listen online? So you have to be careful. That's good. That's good to know. Next time I speak, I'll be careful. How are you, Brenda? All right, before we get started, let's start with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the time that we have tonight as a family to study from your word, and we pray that the things we talk about will help us continue to improve our hearts, to be better stewards for you, better Christians, better examples. Do the things that you'd have us to do so that when people see us in the world that we look different, we act different, and we do something that would cause them to ask why. And pray that we would always have an answer when they do ask the questions that might come our way, that we might demonstrate our faith and be able to bring others closer to you. We're thankful for all of our members. We're thankful for those who are here tonight, the teachers. Bless the classes as they have them, and be with all the students that are in those other classes. And help us have an open heart to your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Week 5. All of us elders have taught one class. So far, the attendance has not waned. I'm so happy. I told Larry when I got here, I said, I was hoping that, you know, tonight it would be a bigger crowd because everyone would have been keeping up with the rotation and you would have recognized it was my turn again, just to make my ego feel good that we had a big crowd. But it looks like the normal crowd, which means we're not losing people. And that's important, and we appreciate you being here, because when you take a whole quarter and, in essence, what some people would say, talk about the same thing over and over, but with a little different twist, some people, if they're not fully engaged, might look for a reason to say, you know what, I just can't make it this week. So my compliments and gratitude on behalf of the elders for you guys being here faithfully every week as we talk about this subject, which is very important and oftentimes neglected in a lot of congregations. So it is week 5. Golden text for tonight, Ecclesiastes 11:1, and we'll talk about it more later, but cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Purpose for tonight's class: to show that giving never impoverishes, never makes you poor. Giving never makes you, drives you to poverty, but it enriches the giver, and that man can never outgive God. So the purpose tonight is, we'll talk about as we go through the class, we'll go through many scriptures tonight and talk about a lot of things that God has promised us throughout the Bible. Thought for today: faith without works, God never regards. Works without faith, God never rewards. Think about that one. We always use faith without works as dead, right? I mean, that's a common one, but it's a little bit different twist on it. Faith without works, God never regards, and works without faith, God never rewards. Does that mean people in the world today who do good things don't oftentimes get some reward out of it? Anybody know anybody that's not a Christian that does good things and good things come back to them? Sure.
It makes them feel good then.
It does. But ultimately, from a spiritual context, works without faith are not going to give us the ultimate reward that we are all striving to get as Christians. So, from an introduction standpoint, we'll go, if you take notes or if you like to write things down, tonight is a 12-step program. There are 12 different promises that we're going to talk about tonight in the lesson throughout the Bible, and there's many, many more, but we'll talk about 12 of them tonight where God references what happens or things that will happen when we do things. He promises a result. So he's made a lot of promises in the Bible. 2 Peter 1:3. A according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he's pretty much told us that he's provided us all we need to live this life, to be able to get through life, and be able to do it the way he wants us to do it. 2 Peter 3:9. Leslie, can you get there real quick? Read that one. 2 Peter 3:9. God's given us all things that we need to get through life. Okay, he's not slow to his promises. Some versions say he's not slack. If he says it, if he promises it, he'll deliver on it. And I don't think we can go through life without recognizing that as we go through his word, the examples that are given to us will demonstrate that if he promised to do something, I don't think there's a case in the Bible where he didn't deliver on it. Whether he promised to curse someone if they did something wrong, or bless someone if they were faithful in what he asked them to do. Numbers 23:19. Who wants to read that? Brother Pons? Numbers 23:19. There's a lot of verses tonight, so you guys have your... I'm gonna snatch you up, call you out. Numbers 23:19. What's he saying there? He don't lie. He's not a man. Therefore, he's not going to sin. He's not the son of man physically like we are, so he's not going to have to repent. He's perfect and worthy of all the things that he says he'll do. If he says it, he'll do it. He'll make it good. If he speaks it, he'll make it good. So of all the things in the Bible, as we go through it, there's a lot of promises. We have to obviously, and you almost feel foolish is the wrong word, but when you're teaching on a Wednesday night and you got a room full of Christians, you almost feel like you shouldn't have to say, if we believe the Bible, then we believe that God's not going to lie. We believe he's capable of delivering on his promises. So if we believe the Bible, then we should act accordingly and recognize that he's going to do what he says he would do. If he kept a promise in the Bible, if he keeps his promises, the Bible's true. We all believe the Bible's true. So we ought to be able to rely on that. So as we get in tonight, we're going to talk about, as I mentioned, 12 promises. Before I go through the ones just off the top of your head, can anybody name a promise that God has made that he's kept? I'm sorry? So far. Okay, well, that one's in there. It's in the top 12. That's usually one of the first ones people call out. And he gave us a sign, right? Which was? Rainbow. Were you going to say something? You were? Okay. True. There's examples of negotiations, right? Well, I think he was making a point. He knew he was right when he said it the first time. He did. I feel like he did. So he was he allowed a human to challenge him, knowing that the end result was going to be the same. But he still went through that, and we won't get into that. But Jim, sure.
Is that he knew what he was going to do. He wanted
Sure. Yeah, if he didn't want our participation, he would have not given us free will, right? It's we live in a world, and he created us in a way that he desires us to desire him, and he's a jealous God, as we're taught, and for very good reason. So that's a good point, good dialogue. So anybody else besides the flood? Any other promise you can think of that he made, that he kept, or still keeping? Okay. That all the nations. I'm sorry? Sure, the descendants would be like sand. Anything else? David? Yep. Told Saul that he would take the kingdom from him. Chris? That's right. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. He will never move. If we wake up one day and you find yourself further away from God, I can promise you he didn't move. You did. Or I did. Or we did. So that's what's good about his word. There's all this information as we study from his word that validates that he is not slack on his promises, that he means what he says, and he says what he means. One of my dad's favorite sermons, one of those tryout sermons preachers use every now and then when they're trying out somewhere. He would always pull that one out. If he visited somewhere and they wanted to preach, he always had one in the front of his Bible that says that was God means, God says what he means and he means what he says. And then he would just roll them out. Somebody wants, sorry about that. Darlene Severs. That's good. Pray for her. She fell earlier. Hit her right temple and right knee. She's at Wake Med Carey. So let's keep Darlene in the prayers. Glad I had it on. Any others before we get into the 12 that I'm going to cover tonight? Yep. He was going to send his son. Did send his son. Said he would, and he did. Right. Said he would provide for us. Are we not better than the birds of the air, lilies of the field, et cetera? We'll talk about that one a little bit. All right. So if I don't stop, you're going to hit all 12, and then we're just going to have open dialogue here. So I'm going to stick with the... I'm sorry. Tom? That's right. Promised us eternal life if we would be faithful in obedience. Live a faithful life. That's exactly right. We'll talk a little bit about that too. Genesis 8:22. Bill, Genesis 8:22. We're starting, we'll start with just a few high-level examples, and then we're going to get into some Old Testament, more Old Testament and more New Testament. So hang with me. Genesis 8. How long ago was that, Larry?
Several thousand
years ago, he told us that as long as the earth is here, there would be seasons, days and nights. That one's still going, isn't it? I know it's basic. I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm starting basic and we'll get into some other things, but he promised it in the beginning. He promised he would never destroy it. Genesis 9:11, we talked about that one. After he destroyed it once, he said he would not do it again with water. Did he say he would never destroy it, though? Just wouldn't do it with water. So, Hebrews 13:5. Leslie? I'm sorry, I picked on you twice already. Hebrews 13:5, promise number 3. If you're writing these down. Yeah. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. Someone mentioned that one. I don't remember who it was, but Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. So it kind of ties in with what we're talking about in regards to giving. As we go through this, you'll start to see a pattern. But if we live a life, let your conversation is not just your talking, is it? It's your walk. It's your way of life. It's how you live your life. Be without covetousness. So the definition of covetousness is? Yeah. You got it. I want it. I'm going to do whatever I can to get it from you. Not just, I don't want to just be like you. I want what you have, right? That's not a very giving lifestyle. Be content with what we have. Does that mean no ambition? Content doesn't mean lazy, does it? Okay. All right. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. The promise from that was he would never leave us or forsake us. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. David, you got that? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. I love this one. We all need this one. Okay. So he doesn't promise us that we'll never be tempted, right? But he does promise us that there's always a way of escape from a temptation. There's going to be a way out for every situation we get into, but we have to be willing to go through the escape door. And that's a great promise, knowing that he's never going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. Doesn't always feel that way, does it? Life gets tough. Things get hard. We get tempted to make shortcut decisions and do things probably different than we should. But that's our own choice. There's an alternative, and there's always a way of escape that he's laid out for us. We just have to be willing to go through that door. Yes? Yeah, so Paul's point was the temptations weren't just the three in the wilderness that Christ had to face. He lived like we did, right? And he was constantly pointing out things that were being done in error to correct them, and how hard that must have been. Even though he's the Son of God, he was still living as a human. He was surrounded by all the temptations that we are. He sat down to eat with prostitutes. He sat down and eat with tax collectors and sinners and to teach them. But that doesn't mean he wasn't tempted and they didn't try to persuade him to do things. I mean, it's a given if he was human, which he was. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And if he became flesh, he became flesh. But yet he sinned not. He was the perfect example in who we should strive after. Paul started with a question. He said, do you know how hard it is to live life without making a mistake? To live right. It is hard to live right. No doubt. I know how hard it is to live right most of the time. Right? Because we all make mistakes. Doesn't matter if you're an elder or member. We're all members, and we're all human, and we all are tempted with different things. And thankfully, we have the grace of God to continually wash our sins if we're constantly trying to do the right thing and walk right. So he also promised us that if we are obedient, and Tom brought this out, if we're obedient to him, we believe, we repent, we confess who he is, we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins and live faithfully, that he'll grant us eternal life. We love to grab onto that one, don't we? And we love to feel good that we've done that. But it doesn't stop there. And that's what we're talking about. You know, being baptized is the beginning. It's not the end. And there's a lot of other things that we're commanded to do. And we're talking this quarter about being a generous, liberal giver of our time, our efforts, our money, and all those things. So it's not uncommon for us to be proud of the fact that we've done that, and we say we believe that, and that's a promise that we believe our actions should, we should do that, so we get that promise. But there's a lot of other promises that we're going to talk about that also have rewards associated with them, that sometimes the way we live, it's as if we don't believe those. I think we all certainly believe that if we're faithful, we'll end up in heaven. If that's the case, then why don't we necessarily believe every other promise that he talks about in here as we go through these? So let's look at some more in the Old Testament. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Larry, can you get there quick on that one? Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. The rest of these, as we go through the next 7 or 8, are going to more associate with the topic for the quarter. So, Larry?
Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
So there's a command first, right? Honor the Lord with thy substance. What would substance be in our world today? Possessions, wealth, anything that we own, or time is also one of our things that we have. We have to honor the Lord with our substance, things that we have or have access to. But he doesn't say honor it with just any of your substance. What's the next phrase say? With the first fruits of thine increase. Not the leftovers, but the first fruits. So the command, honor the Lord with our substance, with our first fruits. Put him first in everything that we have to give back. And then the promise that follows the command. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. There's a promise associated with honoring God with our substance. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Every command that's in the Bible, there's a blessing associated with it. It might not be in the same sentence, but you won't have to read very far to find out what the outcome or the promise is that's associated with it. Proverbs 11, 25. Brian? Okay. Say that again. Your version's different. I mean, it's just different words. It says the same thing, but. Okay. And how do we say that in normal language? In today's language. That's normal language, but I mean, how would we say that? Liberal giving. Liberal soul. The liberal soul shall be made fat. So if you're generous with what you have, you're going to be fat. There would represent what? Pretty healthy. I'm pretty healthy. I don't know if, well, I'll move on after that. We'll let that one go. But if this statement were to be taken literally, very few people in our congregation, if it was a literal statement, not our congregation, because that's an indictment, and that's not fair. People in the church in general, if that was a literal statement, how many of us would really be overweight? That's a way to kind of take that and make it personal. Are we honoring our Father with our substance, with our first, our first fruits? Are we generous or liberal or willing to give as much as we can? And if so, if that was just literal stuff, then we would all be pretty overweight. But it's figurative. But the point is, if we're liberal with what we have, with others we come in contact with, and especially back to God, we are going to be blessed in return. We'll have plenty to eat, figuratively and literally. Okay, Ecclesiastes 11:1. This one, as I studied it and read on it, I thought it was interesting on how it was tied out. And we read this one earlier as the text. So I'll cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Analogy. How do you grow rice? Anybody from water? Underwater? Sow the seed? Over time, what comes out of that? Right? Produces fruit, right? Produces rice. So cast your bread before water, and over time it'll come back. You sow things for God generously, it will produce a return. It'll come back to you. When we give, it's seed sown. When we give things back to God, when we help other people, we are sowing the seed that God's asking us to do. Malachi 3:10. Rod, do you mind? Malachi 3:10. Okay, bring all the tithes in to the storehouse. He'll open the windows of heaven. What's God basically saying there? You can't. If you give as you should, the blessings that come back will overflow. He'll open the windows of heaven. Now, this lesson, if you're not careful as we talk through some of these things that we do, it almost sounds as if, well, I want to give more so I can get more back. That's totally, if that's your attitude, going back to lesson one, if you take these and interpret them as, well, I want to give more, that way I can get more, and I just want it so I can get more, I don't believe the return on your giving will produce what God is promising. Because a generous, liberal heart, when they're giving, is not expecting anything back, right? So a lot of these promises that are associated with giving, where he talks about, you can't outgive me, try it, see if you can. That's not a challenge to see how much I can get. And I know you know that, but I'm just reinforcing the point, because as we go through these kind of promises and we keep talking about what we're going to get back, It is almost tempting to try it just to see if I can get more. And that's not the attitude that God's looking for. Leslie? Sure. That's right. Right. So he blesses us when we give. Counterpoint to that, you would have to assume then he's likely to curse us if we don't. Right? Is that a fair statement? May not happen immediately, as we talked about. There's a lot of people that get a nice return on their investments in the world we live in today, especially our country. That's right. While we're here. That's why it's important for us to recognize that as we talk about this and we talk about the return on what we're generously giving up as Christians, it may not turn into wealth on this earth, but it will definitely turn into the ultimate reward that we're all striving to get. So if we are not giving with the right heart, he will bless us if we do. He will bless us if we give generously. And there are consequences if we don't. It may not be short term. You may not know it while you're here. You may die with millions of dollars in the bank, but it won't do you a bit of good. And I know you all know that. But Anyway. Yes, Derek. That's right. Sure. That's right. Yeah, Derek, if you couldn't hear him, and if you're listening online, Derek's pointing out that we should expect the greater reward, for sure, in the end, and we have all reason to expect that if we're living faithful and doing what he's asked us to do. And he's blessing us while we're here as we live faithfully. He tells us you don't have to wonder or worry. You can expect that. And he gave us the roadmap to follow to be able to live with that expectation. Yes. Sure. It's a confident expectation. It's not an entitlement. I agree with that. Good point. Oh, I'm sorry, Neil. That's right. Thank you. All right, let's transition into the New Testament. Brenda hit on this earlier, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the verses prior to this, he was referencing what? Don't be yawning on me, preacher. Sorry. I'm putting him to sleep. What was he talking about? Food, clothing, and right? The necessities of life. If we put him first, we're not going to have to worry about those things, are we? It will work out if you truly put him first. It may not be a million-dollar mansion, but it will be a nice, safe place to live with all you need to live in this world. So seek ye first. He's talking about food, clothing, and physical things, as we talked about before that. What does he also say, O ye of little faith? He calls that out a couple times too when he's referencing this crowd as they're wondering what they're going to have next, or maybe they're worrying about their next meal, and he's telling them, just put God first and the rest of it will take care of itself. So there's a promise associated with that one. There's a command followed by a promise. Seek him first and all these things will be taken care of. So Luke 6:38. This is probably everyone's, when we start talking about this in our materialistic minds, if we're not careful, this one will jump up and get us. Forrest, have you got that? Luke 6:38. That sounds, what's the command? Give. And the promise? It's coming back. You can't, as much as we talk about, you can't give with the expectation that you're doing it to get that back. There's too many times where he references in the Bible that it's going to come back to you. And when you use expressions that are as encouraging as given back in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that probably sounds like, it feels like that's more than what you gave, right? It's going to come back in some form or fashion. It may just be your heart is overflowing with the good feeling that you get from it because you did the right thing. But there's too many examples, I think, for us to ignore as he's promising us and talking about things he's asking us to do in regards to giving, that he keeps reminding us, you can't outgive me. Told him in Malachi, try. See if you can. Telling him here, give and it'll come back to you. More than you even imagined. More than you thought. He's trying to remind us that he is going to take care of us as long as we put him first and we do what he asks us to do. And one of the things that he asks us to do is give of ourselves, give of our time, give of our possessions, give of our money, give of everything we have. We have to give of ourselves. We have to give him us first. You give your heart, then the rest of it, you can't control it. You're just going to give. Love always gives. What's the other half of that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't help it. If you love somebody and they need something, you're going to give it to them. Shirt off your back, if you want to speak physically. Time to talk, listen to them. They need to talk. You sit down, you're willing to listen. If you love somebody, you sit there all night. Whatever it is in regards to the Christian life that we're supposed to be living, if our heart's right, then we're going to give. And that's what he's talking about there. Number 10, that one is interesting. And it's, you can't ignore the fact that he describes how it's going to come back. And it's not just doesn't feel like a one-for-one to me. It feels like a whole lot more because he's describing it that way. Matthew 19, 27 through 29. We only have 2 minutes left. A loud reader, Brian. Matthew 19, 27 through 29. What's the first question Peter asked? Lord, we left everything for you. What's in it for me? What are we going to get out of this? I left my boat, I left my nets, I left my income, I left my livelihood to follow you. What am I going to get? And what is he telling? Ultimately, eternal life, right? You're going to be with me in heaven. And he's already told them all the other things. Don't worry about this world. And we shouldn't worry about this world. But while we're on this world, we should do what he asks us to do while we're here with the right attitude and the right heart to be able to give and give and give. And it's interesting, this one he talks about eternal life, but you're leaving your family. You're leaving brother, father, sister, mother. And what was the return? How many times is it going to come back? 100-fold? How much is 100-fold? How much? What's 1-fold? It's 100%, right? I mean, you get it back. You get as much back as you gave. You double your money. 100-fold, it's 100 times that. It's 10,000%. Now, where does that come from as a church family? I hate it when the second bell rings. You leave your father, you leave your mother, you leave your brother, sister, cousins, whatever they are, because you left to serve God. You became a Christian. How many of us have a family, immediate family, that we left that had 400 kids in it? Or 350 kids in it? Or thousands of kids in it? You become a part of this family. You had 100 kids in your family? Oh. That's right. 100-fold. How many brothers and sisters do we have now as faithful Christians that are there for us to help us and get us through while we're on this earth? That's the 100-fold, right? You may not notice. A lot of us didn't have to leave our immediate family. A lot of you guys may have. And now you may be closer to this family than you ever thought you would have been. But it's a return on the worldly and the time investment that you made on this earth to serve God. And the return that you're getting is this family, and Gene's giving me the hook. So I didn't get to the four examples of people who actually listened to God and got the promise delivered to them, but you guys know who they are. This is a sound group tonight. But thank you for your attendance. At the end of the day, God commands us to give, but he promises a return on every one of those. Thank you.